You are listening to the Innovation Channel, presenting insights from senior executive game changers. This podcast series is brought to you by Cluster, the innovation brokers.
Hello, and welcome to the Cluster Briefing, a series of podcast interviews created specifically for C-level senior executives. My name is Robert Baldock, and my topic today is high-value innovation delivery on a modest budget. Join me on the podcast is my guest, Fiacre Woodman, known to all as Woody. He's the Vice President of Global Innovations at EMEA, the owners of Nectar, UK's largest loyalty card scheme. Welcome, Woody, and let me start with a very fundamental question. You're responsible for EMEA's innovation services across the globe. You've chosen to set up a fairly small, tight team in a classic skunkworks style of operation. You work outside the mainstream business. You experiment with very innovative left-field thinking. But already this relatively low-cost operation is punching well above its weight. Tell us more about the rationale behind this strategy.
I suspected that spending 3 months writing a paper on what our approach was going to be and what the methodology was going to be probably wasn't the right way for us to go about this. I wanted us to just start. And so we committed to delivering a new prototype every 30 days, which we've managed to do. And I think that discipline required to honour that commitment has put us in a position where we have had to learn quickly, which I think has served us well. So when we set this up, we agreed with the executive committee that we would be the mechanism by which we would actually try to move more quickly. And there was, I think, a strong recognition at the outset that anybody who was going to try and do this was going to require a certain degree of autonomy within our organization so that they would be free to break the rules, challenge all the taboos, circumvent those things that tend to make corporates a little bit slow, and so effectively to become EMEA's three men in a garage. So that's what we've been doing, and that's what's driven the strategy around how we've done it.
So please take us back to the beginning. How did you get started? What were your priorities? And on what did you focus your energies at the outset?
I joined EMEA 10 years ago and became the IT director first for the UK, then Europe, and then EMEA. Building and running all the loyalty programs and all the analytics products across that geography. They were all big builds with big implementation timelines and brought with them a 24/7 operational responsibility. So as you can probably imagine by, you know, January 2014, I was yearning to get back to building small things quickly. And of course, to pass on my operational responsibilities. So in January 2014, I suggested and our AEC agreed to establish the Global Innovations Lab, to create a rapid prototyping capability in the style of Lockheed Martin's Skunkworks team. And we are blessed with a fairly forward-thinking executive team. And they allowed me to put in place a structure that afforded us the liberty to try things without needing to business case them to death. And I wanted to create things that we could demo, which we could show to our clients, which our sales team could use to open doors and engage customers.
You've accomplished a great deal in a remarkably short time and with very limited resources. How have you managed to achieve so much with so little?
So we focus on weeding out what we call the must-be-true essence of an idea and rapidly innovate and prototype around that essence to create a quick working prototype in less than 30 days. And the 30 days is important because I think it sets a rhythm. It frames the possible and forces the culling of pet features and precludes that technical indulgence. So in other words, time and budgetary constraints force an MVP mindset, necessitating simpler thinking, compromise, and ingenuity. There's always a less exotic way to reveal and test the underlying assumptions. And through that, sort of four principles have emerged. One is, make a move. You know, it's far too easy to sit on the fence, contemplating your navel and pontificating about how difficult it is and how challenging it could be. Make a move, and by moving into the space that you're looking to explore, you find the new opportunities, you find the new constraints, you find the new pivot points that you probably would never have conceived of had you not started. So we feel very strongly about making a move. And then I think it's imperative that we do the explorative thinking, the associative thinking. For us, across three main domains. One being the emerging consumer trends, two being new technical capabilities, and three being legislative changes. And we look for the shifts that are occurring across those domains and new little niches around which we can build new compelling propositions. And the third thing that we really sort of hold dear is trying to distill what we do to its essence. Because we should be able to find in other sectors, other things that other people are doing that actually has a relevance and is pertinent within our sector. And if we can actually understand what we do at its essence, we can usually find parallels in other sectors that we can copy and bring back into our world. The fourth and final one is really honestly look at our own Achilles heel. So because I do fervently believe that a true and honest examination of what our own vulnerabilities are might well yield the most compelling opportunities.
To what extent have you drawn upon external resources, and what in particular have they brought to your party?
Well, finding people who are open-minded and tech-savvy and, I suppose, instinctively customer-centric and indeed ruthlessly focused on finding and delivering MVPs is hard. And via Cluster, we found the sort of fast-moving software engineering company we were looking for. You know, we're doing this on a very small budget. We're not hiring PMs or BAs or TAs or product managers or solution architects or testers or anything like that. We're not writing functional specifications and non-functional specifications and architecture documents and all the other stuff that we usually write. So we need to work with very technically brilliant people, but people who are also brilliant communicators. And they balance all that with commercial understanding. They deliver, they have to deliver time and time again. And they have to be nimble and flexible in pivoting to new ideas and new solutions.
Looking back over this past year, what are the three most important lessons you've learned?
First one might be ignore the constraints of the question, so I might give you more than three. But I think first and foremost is make a move. You know, don't sit in the ivory tower thinking about how difficult it is. Make a move. I suppose secondly, I would say be responsible, early and imperfect. And I suppose thirdly, I would say probably ask for less budget. I think it necessitates ingenuity. As I mentioned before, it culls the pet features and mandates a ruthless focus on delivering value. And it, to be frank, grants permission to be a bit half-assed. And I think poverty may well be the real mother of invention. Then ask for less time, because those rapid cycles set a rhythm, they inject urgency, they force prioritization and compromise, and they force clear thinking. And of course, early imperfection. And I suppose most controversially of all, I would probably say ask for less people. Because the overheads that they bring can be disproportionate to the value added. They sometimes bring a little bit of politics and a little bit of indecision. So maybe there's some merit in small autocracies.
Finally, at a time when many companies are investing heavily in innovation labs, let me ask you a real multi-million dollar question. Do you really need a formal innovation lab or even a smaller scale skunkworks to deliver innovation?
I think one thing is true is that innovation does need to be championed. It needs dedicated, passionate enthusiasts. People who are tech savvy, commercially aware, and I think fiercely consumer centric. And when I look at it, you know, I have to say there's a lot more in the box labeled stuff that is going on which we don't know about than in the box labeled stuff we do know about it. And so we need to adopt an open-minded, outward-facing approach. And we need to broadcast to the world that we're all open for business, that we're receptive to new ideas, new concepts, new business models, new thinking. So for me, an agile team, free to experiment and forge alliances quickly, backed by an organization that has the global presence and reserves to scale the right opportunities when they arrive, is for me the best of both worlds.
And I guess what I'm hearing based on your answers to my previous questions is quite often, less gives you more.
Indeed.
Woody, thank you for these thoughts. It's been a fascinating and very refreshing insight into innovation. And thank you, listeners, for joining me on this cluster briefing. I look forward to welcoming you to future cluster briefings. But for now, thank you and keep innovating.
If you would like even more insights, we have prepared a special point of view paper on the whole subject of innovation. For your free copy, simply visit cluster.net. That's CLUSTRE.net. And click on Innovation Channel. You can also browse our website to find out more about Cluster, the Innovation Brokers.